Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for iPad Today is provided by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
It's time for Twit's annual audience survey, and we want to hear from you. Please visit twit.tv/survey and let us know what you think. It only takes a few minutes, and your anonymous feedback will help us make Twit even better. We thank you so much for your continued support. twit.tv/survey.
Coming up, spring cleaning for your iPad.
Yay! Get to Inbox Zero, organize your subscriptions, all that, and...
I shall compare thee to a summer's day.
On iPad Today.
iPad Today is brought to you by Gazelle, the fast and simple way to sell your used gadgets. Find out what your used iPhone, iPad, or other Apple product is worth at gazelle.com. And by lynda.com. The online learning platform with over 3,000 on-demand video courses to help you strengthen your business, technology, and creative skills. For a free 10-day trial, visit lynda.com/iPad today. That's lynda.com/iPad today. And by MeUndies. MeUndies is the most comfortable and hip underwear you'll ever wear. Check out all the styles and get 20% off your first order, plus free shipping at MeUndies.com. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to iPad Today. Hello, Megan Maroney.
Hello, Leo Laporte.
Filling in for Sarah Lane, who is at another job.
She is. You were, of course,
I was in Vegas. Viva Las Vegas on Saturday. You know, I realized, you know, this is March Madness time. Are you into college basketball?
Not the least bit into college basketball.
Me neither, but I knew it was March Madness because Dvorak told me. Mm-hmm. He's very much into it. And then you go to Las Vegas during the NCAA tournament, the big college basketball tournament. It's everything. There's TVs everywhere. You can't escape it because I guess a lot of, first of all, it's spring break, a lot of kids, college kids there, but everybody goes there to bet on college basketball. You almost feel like this isn't about sport. It's like all about gambling.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we had a good time. It was a lot of fun. We went there for Debbie's birthday, mm-hmm. Lisa's sister's birthday. Debbie works with us also.
And you visited the Mob Museum.
You saw my pictures?
I follow you on Instagram.
From the Mob Museum. Mm-hmm. That is an experience.
Yeah.
Three stories. It's in the old courthouse. Uh-huh. So one of the fun things, you go into the courtroom where the Kefauver Commission met, and because they were investigating the mob in the United States. There's a Senate commission, Estes Kefauver. And they went to Vegas to interview people like Bugsy Siegel. And so you're sitting in the courtroom and they're showing video of it. It's pretty dramatic. It's a lot of fun.
It was fun.
I don't know why. We're so fascinated with the mob, though, aren't we?
We are
in America. Today we're going to mob you up.
No, today we're going to spring clean our iPads, or just spring clean our whole digital lifestyle with our iPads.
Do you do that? It feels like that's something from Little House on the Prairie, where you take the mattresses outside and you beat them with a stick.
Yes, no, I don't do that.
I feel like I should do that.
Yeah.
But it's more because you've been sealed inside a house in 8-foot snow all winter than anything else.
We have been sealed inside nothing here. It has barely rained.
So many of us don't even have walls. We just... So you don't...
You live in a yurt now.
In a yurt. A spring cleaning for a yurt basically means let the yak eat it and start over.
Right, yeah. Exactly. But, you know, your computer and your iPad, it just gets all your inbox. I mean, I've been downloading. So I just started in January, and I've been testing so many apps. And I have so many apps that are designed to help me clear out my computer and my email. And I have so many of them that now that's a mess.
Yeah.
Because it's like you get notifications from the 10 different email accounts that you've downloaded. And, yeah, you got to do it.
Do you believe in Inbox Zero? I always thought it was kind of...
Like a unicorn?
Like a mythical beast.
I still believe it is like a unicorn. I've never gotten there. And I just started over when I got a brand new Megan at twit.tv, and it's fresh. And now what my goal is to get the inbox on one page, like not to go below the, not to have to scroll.
Not zero, but smaller.
Yeah. Yeah. But I understand there are a lot of tools that will help you get to inbox zero.
Well, we're going
to
show you a few things. You have a really good one that everybody should sign up for right now.
Yes, this is unroll.me, and it's not new. I just recently heard about it from Becky Worley. She posted it on Facebook.
Oh, it's so good.
And so let's see. What it is designed to do is to get all of your subscriptions, your newsletter subscriptions, and unroll them and also keep the ones that you want to keep.
That's my problem. Is my reason I don't have Inbox Zero is because it's not all spam. Spam would be easy.
Mm-hmm.
It's stuff that I agreed to.
Right.
Maybe unwittingly, because sometimes they say, you know, you sign up for something. Would you like to get our newsletter? And you just go, yes, yes, yes. But a lot of this is still stuff that I don't want, whether I agree to it or not. And unsubscribing is kind of a pain. Almost everything will have an unsubscribe button at the bottom of the email.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's kind of how Unroll Me works, is it's looking for that kind of stuff.
Yes.
So show us. So this is, it's not an app. It's a website.
It's a website, but you can use your iPad. You can sit on the couch and do this, which is nice.
Anything I can do on the couch, I like.
I know. And
actually, that's the real reason that the iPad, I think, is such a success, is that a lot of the basic computing chores that you would do sitting at a desk, you don't have to.
Exactly. Yes. Let me just agree to the terms. I had this up before, but we had some.
We started looking at other websites.
Yes, we were. Okay. So what is it is going to do? It's going to edit my subscriptions. So I'm going to look at all my subscriptions. So here they
all
are.
So you have to give it access to your email. Does it only work with Gmail, or does it work with other?
That's a really great question. I think it works with most web
So you emails. You basically give it your email credentials.
Yeah. Not my password, just my email. I guess maybe I
No, you have to give it, because it can't read your email without the password. Hey, read my email for me. But so it is a little bit of an exercise in trust.
Yeah. So you go through and you think, okay, well, here's this stuff. I don't want to unsubscribe to that cover. That was an app. That's what I like to Hotel Tonight. I'm not interested in getting their newsletter.
Wait a minute, that's all you do?
Yeah, to unsubscribe, that's all you do.
You just tap unsubscribe.
Yes, and I was reading about this, and what it does is it just makes it so you don't see it. It doesn't actually go and
it doesn't unsubscribe.
It
moves it somewhere?
It just so you never see it again.
I thought it actually, I was giving them more credit than they deserve, I guess.
Well, you never see it again, who knows?
Who cares, right?
But then
if a newsletter falls in the forest and no one is there to hear it.
Right, it does say it unsubscribed. So I don't know.
Maybe I misunderstood it.
Yeah. But then if there are things you want to keep, like the American Conservatory Theater, active sports, I want to add that to my roll-up.
Yeah. And that's cool. So it doesn't actually unsubscribe stuff that you roll up. You're going to get a digest once a week.
So then you have a roll-up. So
every
here are all
day,
the things on my roll-up. And then it'll just be one email that you get with all the subscriptions that you want to see, as opposed to them. You know, a lot of emails Gmail especially, will separate your promotions, and that's pretty good. But
that
I
helps.
Really do like this. And then you can go and stop rolling up if you change your mind and you don't really want these in there anymore. So, pretty basic.
And it's free.
Subscribe. Yes, free. It's a website, not an app. So just go to unroll.me.
You will have to give them access to your email,
I must have given them my password.
May make you nervous, but it doesn't. To me, it's like, okay, fine, because I'm trusting.
You've done it. Becky Worley's done it.
I'm using Google Gmail, and so it looks like it maybe does at least, it knows enough about Gmail to log, to say this account, you say yes, and then it logs in. So it was just so quick you didn't notice.
Yeah.
I've used it for a while, and I love it.
Left and right. Who knows what
else
my password is?
Unroll.me. Me. Now, that's going to get you at least half the way to Inbox Zero, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And this is another solution for Gmail, which I really love. And I've showed you and I've talked about before. They made it iPad compatible, which is great. It's Inbox. It's from Google. I know a lot of people don't like it, and I'm not necessarily saying switch to Inbox. The nice thing about Inbox is just a different interface to your Gmail. You may not like it. Some people don't. There's things missing, like automatic signatures. But it doesn't change your Gmail. You still can go to Gmail and look at it in exactly the same way. What it does nicely is make it very easy to get to Inbox Zero. In fact, this is the only tool I've ever used that did get me to Inbox Zero.
But you're no longer in Inbox Zero.
As you can see, I'm far from it. And that's one of the negatives of Inbox Zero. You have to do it, you know, regularly.
Mm-hmm.
But this makes it very easy. So first of all, notice there is, and by the way, Microsoft does this with Outlook. In fact, I think they invented this. They called it Sweep. See that checkbox with some lines by it? That says, if you click that, you're going to delete everything in a category. So these are all promos. Gmail's already doing that. You mentioned that before. Mm-hmm. I don't really care. Almost, you know, occasionally, I guess I'll scan this looking for something that I might want. Sometimes you'll get a deal that you want. But almost always, you see, I get a lot of French spam because my last name, Laporte, is a common last name in France. And a lot of people sign up for stuff and put a space in after their first and last name. They sign up at Leo space Laporte. And then I get their stupid French email because Gmail doesn't know that that's not the same. They think it's all Laporte. So I get a lot of this stuff. And to be honest with you, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. It's all in some funny language. Down here it says, rendez-vous sur cette page pour vous débonner. Désabonner. I think that's unsubscribe. Then you click it, and then it says, oh, did it in English. Yeah. Thank you. Oh, that was nice.
But that takes
usually it says it in French, and I don't know what it means. So Unroll Me is a great solution in that respect. But notice, we'll go back in here into the promos. I can, instead of going through all of these, I have that fancy checkbox. Watch this. Gone. Gone.
And so what if you want to look at it later? Does that have that option?
It archives it. So don't despair. It does not delete it. It moves it into an archive folder. This is all Gmail. So if you've used Gmail, you know that Gmail doesn't like to delete things, and that's not a bad thing. Once it's in the archive, you can still search. In fact, the search, if I go back to my inbox, the search still works here. I can search for disabonné or whatever it was, and I'll find it. But it is out of my inbox, and that's the whole point. I want to. It also makes it very easy to get rid of just single emails, and this is something that Mailbox invented. Mailbox is now a Dropbox program. Nokia developers create anti-wheel theft mobile app technology. I don't really care about that. FBI lets criminal walk. I don't really care about that. Nous vous attendons à la peña de samedi avril. Don't care about that. So it's very easy to wipe off stuff. And again, this is couch stuff that you can do.
And then if you scroll the other way, then you can reschedule it for another time?
Yeah, and I've shown this before, and this is really great. You can schedule it. So you could say, hey, just hide that from the inbox until I need to know about it. Or, and this is really cool, pick a place. So if I, for instance, say, oh, this email I don't need till I go to my board meeting, I could say, show that email when I walk in at Sonoma Academy, and the email will pop up. That is insanely useful, and it all gets you to inbox zero very quickly. So you probably know, if you know Google, that they have updates, and that is often stuff you want to pay attention to. Social is things from Twitter, Google+, LinkedIn. Often I can ignore that. In fact, let's sweep away the social because I don't care about that. Now, I have my own inboxes. I have a Twit inbox that I'm always going to read. The forums, actually, it's funny. When people send us mail to info@twit.tv, Google, for some reason, decides to put that in forums. That's actually good. It's not something it's something we'll all see, but that's still something very good. Here's some guest appearances and stuff. Purchases, you want to pay attention. You want to pay attention to what you buy. Some Steam stuff, things like that. But once my Harry's order is coming, once I do, look at that. Who is data for munchcast.com? I remember that show.
Oh, yeah, about food.
Sweep that away because those, again, they're not deleted. So I don't know if you've noticed, but I'm a lot closer to inbox zero than I was.
You are.
And within just a few minutes, travel is another good, useful category, but I don't need to know about the Hertz rental car anymore because we're done. So that really is a great way to simplify it. And I think the key to understand here is you don't commit to using inbox if you use it. You just are using it as a particular interface for a particular moment, say to get to inbox zero, and then you go right back to your Gmail. And in fact, if I go to Gmail right now, all that stuff I've swept away is gone.
Right.
So think of it as a inbox zero tool. I actually use inbox all the time now because I just love that facility with which I can go through a lot of them. I get a ton of mail. The ability to quickly go through it is valuable to me. But still, you can just use it to kind of clear stuff away and then go back to Gmail.
Yeah.
But it, unfortunately, is Gmail only, and it's a negative.
And can you use it for work email? Because I think that I can't use it for
You can't yet, but I understand that's very soon. That's coming, that if you have a Google Apps account, a Google for Work account, which we do at Twit, I seem to remember that's coming.
I think that's coming too. But you can't yet. And then you
not
don't
yet.
But you don't need an invite anymore, right?
No. You do not, I don't believe, need an invite. No. You've in fact you've probably already received an invite. Almost everybody I know who uses Gmail has already been offered the chance to use Inbox.
Right.
Take advantage of that. It's a free download. Just download it onto your iPad. They have an iPad app. You don't have to use it except maybe when you're sitting on the couch, you're watching a boring movie. You just go, let me clear out some email. And it's so nice. It's funny. When I first encountered the BlackBerry, remember the old days? Mm-hmm. It was with the chairman of the FCC at the time, Michael Powell. And I said, you carry a BlackBerry? He said, everybody at the FCC does. I said, do you use it to respond to email? He says, no, chiefly I use it to do email triage. I can delete so much email by just saying no, 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 you know, get rid of it, that it really leaves, when I get to my desk, the stuff that I want to pay attention to in my inbox. Think of this as email triage, a quick and easy way to get rid of stuff you really don't care about so that you can, it doesn't have to be inbox zero, but you can focus on the stuff you really need to know.
That's a really good tip, because I have not enjoyed using it as my primary email, but
swipe, it's all gone. Swipe.
We should just do this week in cleaning out Leo's email.
It's a long and boring process,
and
trust me.
Imagine the secrets.
This is all PR stuff, right? So I throw that stuff right out.
All right, so I showed Unroll Me, which is for newsletter subscriptions,
yeah.
But I also have an app recommendation that's for subscriptions, like things you pay for, like, you know, if you pay for Beats Music or if you pay for Amazon or Netflix. So this is a way to think, to sort of see everything that you have paid for.
Oh, my
and
God.
See, I know.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. And here, this was a good, because remember when I did the show a few weeks ago, we did music streaming?
Yeah.
And so
you signed up to a bunch of stuff.
I signed up to a bunch of stuff. And I think I told you that you can re-sign up for Beats Music over and over again. That's not true. I heard that from a 12-year-old. I'm going to cite my source. But to my credit, I did say that I heard it from a 12-year-old. But my Beats Music subscription ran out. So, but it told me, it said, your subscription ran out. Do you want to subscribe? You know, it told me that. And so I actually did subscribe, paid my $9.99
a month.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
Well,
yeah, because I mean, it's going to change over soon anyway, and probably
I think
be
so.
More. So I just
in fact, Apple might charge less. I think.
Yeah, I think that was so. Yeah. I figured I might as well get on that bandwagon.
Yeah.
But then yesterday, when I was going through my email, I got a PayPal $10.99 or $9.99 from PayPal bill, and I thought, what was that? And you know, whenever we get something from PayPal, you think, did someone hack me?
Right.
What's going on?
Right.
But what I realized, it was my Google Play subscription, and they did not warn me. They just started charging me.
Of course they didn't warn you.
But Beats did warn me.
Yeah. Sorry, you got to pay attention.
Google, yeah, it just charged me.
You know what?
Me.
That's wrong. They should say,
your
trial is over.
Do you want to subscribe?
Do you want to subscribe? Instead, they just start billing you.
Yeah, but a lot of places do that. It is part of the thing, and they can do that. But it's good to know. So here I went through and could look at all my subscriptions. So here's my Amazon Prime, 99 Beats. I don't know why that says bill rate not set, but here's what I pay for.
See,
Dropbox.
This is great because I.
Here's what I pay for
LastPass. I had a Vonage account for like 5 years and never used it.
Yeah.
And it was just draining a little bit at a time out of my account every month.
And you have to. It's like
it's
the old.
So
remember
great.
The record? What were those called? Where you like would sign and get nine?
Columbia
Records. Yeah.
Because you do the thing because you get 20 CDs free. For a penny or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and they don't tell you, and then we're going to send you stuff you don't want every month for the rest of your life.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I believe that this is probably a native iPhone app, don't you? Sometimes they look a little
It looks
bit
like
funny,
an iPhone app. What's the name of it? Because I want this immediately.
Subscript Me.
And
then, so then you look, these are my subscriptions.
Oh, I want this so bad. This
and then
is
I
great.
Can see, look, by
now, how does
spending
it know
wisdom,
your subscriptions?
You tell them. I think it went through.
How do you
email.
Tell them? It goes through your email?
I think you go to this featured list and then you choose.
Because I don't know. For. What I'm looking for is, it should go through all my credit cards is what it should go through.
Hey, that's a good question. I think I gave it my email.
Because I like this idea.
You say I keep doing, you're so proud of me for doing all this research, but now I feel like, well, how did it? I don't know.
You know
I
what? You sign up for this stuff and
ago.
You forget.
Who
yeah.
Knows? But okay, so what you can do is go through the most popular. So there's Netflix, there's Spotify. I think what
oh,
it did, I just
see.
Told it.
I have
what
these.
It did.
Okay.
And so if you don't already have them, you're like, oh, I can pay for Evernote. I can pay for AT&T Wireless. I can pay for iCloud. So this is what, and then
I have,
here's the feature.
As
list.
You might imagine, probably 100 subscriptions that I don't know. And I can't remember.
Well,
you could go through your credit card accounts, I guess.
Here's some right here, like your New York Times subscription.
I got that.
Your Blast Plus subscription. So then, yeah, you go through and...
I'm going to do it.
You can, it goes a spending breakdown to what you are spending it on. So if you're spending...
Oh, it even tells you that?
$99 on cloud storage.
I'm sure I want to know that.
And then you can choose to subscribe more.
Nice. So I'm going to sign up. Wants email.
Do you know what Spider Oak is?
Yeah, you subscribe to that?
No, but it's saying that 0% love it, 100% says it's pretty good. What is
that? I love Spider Oak. It's like a Dropbox, but it's one of the few that's fully encrypted. Trust no one encryption.
Oh. So, yeah, that's probably how they make money, by having these featured lists.
So it's an ad. Oh, that's interesting.
But it's an ad with background of people saying like 50% love
with reviews.
Evernote.
Who doesn't love Evernote?
Definitely not. 0%.
Zero.
Doesn't love.
So, okay, so I signed up. It sent me a confirming email like that. It says, here's how it works. Find subscriptions using your phone. Edit bill rates, due dates, rate subscriptions, get insights.
So probably search through my
It sounds
email.
Like it's going to go through my phone stuff.
Did you give it access to your phone?
I'm saying, okay, awesome. We'll send you a push notification when an upcoming bill is due. Got it. And it's going to, now, of course, as iOS does, it asks.
Yeah, the push notifications are good.
Do you
too.
Pay for any of these? Amazon Instant Video? No, because I have Prime, right?
Right.
So I would say that. Swipe to the right. Okay. Deezer, Google Drive, yes. Hulu Plus, yes. LastPass, yes. LinkedIn, yes.
Oh,
this
whoa.
Is getting you a little depressing. Yeah. So the only two I don't do. Wait a minute, I think I do have a Deezer. Do I have a Deezer account? I'm not sure.
It probably found that in your...
No, I think it's just...
It's just the most popular
Well, it must
thing.
Have, because it knows what my next bill is. Oh, no, it's just doing that based on the month, the calendar.
It's good to know what you're paying for.
Wow. You tracked subscriptions are below. Swipe to rate or delete. Tap to set billing and reminders. All right. Subscribe to me. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell them right now. I wouldn't mind it if you went through my credit card account.
Mm-hmm. Subscribe to me.
Some people would hate that, right? But if you could do me a favor and go through, just like unroll me, goes through all my emails and says, here's the ones that you get subscription. Maybe it would go through all my credit cards, because I have too many, like four or five. If we just go through all of those and say, hey, this is what you're paying for every month. Did you really mean to subscribe to that?
Right. Well, it's good because it does have a feature where it says, you know, here's what you're paying for just music streaming.
Love
so,
to know
you know,
that.
It does tell you, you know, do you really need Beats and Google Play?
Yeah.
And Deezer?
Instantly, the
audio.
Chat room says you can get an invite at inbox@inbox.gmail.com.
Anyone.
So you might have to, if you didn't get one.
I can or anyone can.
Anyone. Okay. No, you, if, only you. If your name is Megan Maroney.
If anyone can, then I can. So subscript.me.
I like that.
All right. What do you
have?
What
I don't know. What did I say I had?
You had The Purge. Were you going to
Oh, yeah,
that?
Yeah,
Lightbox,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Lightroom?
This actually... I have to give credit to Megan because this was an i5 for the iPhone chip.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I love this because it makes kitty cat sounds. So it's called Purge. It's $1.99.
Purge.
Now, I don't have a whole lot of pictures on my iPad, but I know people. In fact, you know what? My iPhone, I'm trying to figure out how to get rid of thousands of pictures.
Yeah.
So the idea of Purge is it makes it very simple. You press the select button. And then you could just say, oh, that's a terrible picture.
And you could swipe, too.
This has been driving me crazy. You could do big swaths of stuff by mm-hmm. swiping through it. Or you could just say, would you please delete everything? But I do want to save that of Andy Yannacco. I used to work with her, I think. She was great. Whatever happened to her? And this picture, I don't want to lose that picture.
No.
I'm going to have to start. Oh, there, that's a good one. There's another good one of Sarah. And we want one of you, Brian, that one. And then I'm just going to...
not the other ones.
The other ones, I don't want them. That might be kind of cute. All right, now I'm going to press done. Now what, they're going
to
go?
Yeah, you have to press the kitty cat on the right.
Oh, this
right.
is the most fun
wait,
part.
Listen for the purring sound.
Listen for the sound. Ready to purge? By the way, that is not the name of the program. It's P-U-triple-R-G-E.
Triple R, three R's.
That might confuse you because that's got like umpteen... Mm-hmm. Allow Purge to delete 23 photos.
Make sure you really want to do it. Did you not hear the purring sound?
Where's the purring sound?
I don't know.
There's supposed to be a purring sound. It says cat sounds on. Oh, maybe I have to turn. Oh, you have to purchase for 99 cents extra cat sounds.
Oh, really?
I don't know what the extra cat sounds. Should I get extra cat sounds?
Yes.
If you like kitty cats, or actually this is more for if you hate kitty cats. But you got a lot of kitty cat pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Purge. I'll show you another way that I do this that I maybe I like a little bit better. If you're a Lightroom user, You know that one of the problems for professional photographers, anybody who takes a lot of pictures has, you take a lot of pictures. And the nicest thing, we should call this episode Couchware. Mm-hmm. This is another program that you can sit on the couch and get rid of pictures you do not want. So the problem is when I take pictures, hey, Jimmy Fallon's on Meerkat. Why don't you go watch that now? Go away, Meerkat. Go away.
That's another spring cleaning tip. Turn off your Meerkat notifications.
Turn off notifications.
I think you'll save like an hour or two a day if you turn off your Meerkat notifications.
So if you use Lightroom on your desktop, as I do, you import all the pictures. What you're supposed to do, what Lisa does, which is so impressive to me, what a lot of real photographers do, is they immediately go through them and say, get rid of that. Actually, it's more like save that, that, and that, and get rid of everything else.
Right.
I don't. As you can see, I have a lot of excess stuff.
Where was that? Why wasn't I invited?
Yeah, well, you like him, huh?
It was the ocean that I was talking about.
Oh, okay. Sure, Megan. So what you do is you make collections. So this is collection-based. In Lightroom, if you've not started using collections, you must. You'll also want to sign in to the Creative Cloud so that you automatically sync these. So I did not move these to my iPad. What happened is I made a collection of Beach Day, and it automatically synchronizes those with your iPad. Now it's very easy to do a purge, to say, I like this, I don't like this, and to flag it. You can even do some small modifications, and those will automatically get synced back to your Lightroom for deletion. You do the deletion on the Lightroom because that's where the pictures live. These are not actually on my iPad. This is a view into Lightroom. But what I like to do is go through, rate every picture. Now I'll go back to the desktop, and you can see it, pretty big and nice on the screen. So you can really look at it, say, do I really want this picture? If I do, I say flag it. If I don't, I leave it unflagged, and I only save the flag. But I'll go back to the desktop and delete everything that's not flagged. This is a process that you kind of want to go through every time you take a bunch of pictures, every trip you take when you get back. I've got so many Vegas pictures I need to do this with. This is a worthwhile. Lightroom is free if you're a Lightroom user on the desktop. So if you do use Lightroom on the desktop, and I know a lot of people are starting to do that now that Aperture is gone and so forth, this is great. Now, when Apple comes out with Photos, the next version of OS X will have a new app, not iPhoto. iPhoto's gone. Photos. Apple says we'll integrate with Photos on your iPad, and I suspect you'll have somewhat of this kind of capability. We'll have to wait and see when it comes out what it can do. But if you are an iPhoto user, be prepared. OS X 10.10.3 is going to come out soon, and that will have the new Photos app in it. And then you'll be able to do much the same thing. You'll have a desktop app, which will automatically synchronize to the iPad. And then, like this picture. Who wants this picture? Not me. That's a dumb picture. There's nothing you can do with it. You like the beach?
I do like it. Save one.
I'm going to save the one that has the hunky guy in it. Because isn't that much more interesting, really? Don't you want to save that one?
Sure.
That's Lisa way out there.
Yeah, that's a beautiful photo. Where was that? You're not saying.
This is in Greece.
Oh.
This is in Greece. The hunky guy is waiting for her to come back to him.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole story in this photo, so he can dismount her.
Excellent.
From
Thank you. All right, so
jet ski.
This has been really helpful. It sounded like I was done with the show, but I'm not. let's talk about just storage in general, because that's where we've talked about getting rid of the pictures. That takes up a lot of space. But just maybe a little reminder about how to manage your storage. So
I think this
settings,
is so useful.
General. Where are my general
You
settings?
Can actually delete a lot of junk.
Usage.
Yep.
So settings, general, usage, and then manage your storage. And it's really good to see what's taking up so much space.
Yeah, and you can even manage it from there. You can say, you know what, I want to get rid of that. That's too big. That's too much space.
I do find that the podcasts take up the most space.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Vainglory, that was a game that I showed.
Now, you can only delete the app and its data. If you don't have the granularity of saying, oh, I'm only delete the data, you're going to be deleting the whole thing right there. But
I might play Vainglory again.
Yeah, see, this is a useful thing.
But the podcasts, for sure, that takes up a ton of space.
Yeah.
Like the all Twitch shows, totally worth that 6.3 gigabytes. It's taking gigabytes, lots of space.
Way too much space.
And you can also, in here, go through your podcast and say how many you want saved at once. Like, I only want 3 episodes
of
Fresh Air at once. And,
very useful.
So, yeah, look at all that stuff. So, really good. Spring clean. Go in there. Go in there now.
Well, you know what? I'm really tempted because I've been using this iPad for a long time.
Start over. Are you going
to
do a fresh
start? I'm really
tempted
to do a fresh start.
A fresh start. I believe that you can do a fresh start.
Because every app I've ever downloaded to review on this show, even if I never showed it, is on here. There's literally 500 or 600 apps on here. Now, there's a couple ways to do that. One is just go into general reset and erase all content and settings.
Are you going to do that now? This week and reset?
I probably shouldn't do it in the middle of the show,
Maybe not.
I'll wait.
When we're done, you're going to do it because...
It's time. Feel like it's time. And it's partly because I can't find anything. You probably see me sweep through 800 screens now trying to find apps.
Okay, here's a question I have for you.
Yeah.
When you delete an app from your iPad, do you also have to delete it from iTunes? Or will it just delete completely?
It will still be in iTunes. Actually, that's kind of a handy thing. If that's how you've installed apps... And people don't, I think, for the most part, do that anymore.
I don't.
But if in the old days, or if you synced apps back to the Apple, not merely a backup, but synced back, you'll have all the apps you ever bought will be visible, and they won't normally copy back to the iPad. But it is an easy and fast way to get them back on the iPad if you want. You just say, no, put that back on the iPad.
Right.
So you haven't lost it forever.
Right. Well, yeah, after this show, I think you should do a fresh start.
It's time. I mean, it's becoming so unusable here. Mm-hmm. There's just too much stuff.
All right, so for all the links to the apps, where do people go?
You don't know?
Twit.tv/IPT? IPT.
I believe that's it.
IPT. That's right.
IPT. Yes. Anything else?
You could watch our show.
You would get links in a way because we'd say them out loud.
Right.
But you don't want to have to write them down.
Right.
So do both.
Yes.
Where would you watch our show?
Well, you could noon, 12:30 Pacific time, right here.
One of these days I'm going to get Sarah to write down what she says because I don't think anybody really knows. She says something at this point. That involves something like what we're trying to say.
Well, as you saw in my podcast, I have like 30 episodes of iPad Today on there.
Just go back and listen to them all.
And watch it.
Yeah. Do subscribe.
Yes,
it's a great show.
And shoot us an email at iPadToday@twit.tv.
That's also a good way to stay in touch. And we have some emails coming up in just a bit. Some voicemails, too.
Yes.
I'm very happy about that. Our show today brought to you by Gazelle. If you have an iPad and you're ready, you're getting ready to get a new one. Maybe that iPad Pro is coming out sometime soon. You're just curious, what is that old iPad worth? Or iPhone or Samsung phone or Surface tablet or Kindle Fire? Go to Gazelle.com, the place to get great price on your old stuff. The real thing about Gazelle is it's so convenient. You go there, you get a quote. It's good for 30 days. You'll know exactly how much you're going to get. If you forget to wipe the data, Gazelle will take care of that for you. Yes, they do even buy broken iPhones and iPads. That's nice. They make this friction-free. They'll even, once you decide to do the thing, so you get all the quotes, you say, you know, I got $1,000 in my, it's kind of like a reverse shopping cart. I got $1,000 in my cell cart. Should I, all right, I'm going to do it. You push the button. They'll send you a box. All the postage is paid. You pile it into the box. They turn it around fast. And you get the cash. If you're letting stuff sit in a drawer, gather dust, that's crazy. Sell it today at Gazelle. And by the way, if you wonder, well, what happens to all that stuff? The best stuff, they sell back on Gazelle.com. Yes, Gazelle, this is new. They sell you certified pre-owned iPhones or Samsung Galaxy phones or iPads directly from Gazelle. If you've lost or broken your phone or tablet, this is a great way to get a low-cost replacement. There are two conditions. You can get certified like new. It's like getting a brand new device. Certified good is the way I would go. It saves you a little more money, and it's some slight signs of wear. It's completely functional. In fact, they make sure of that with their 30-point inspection. They do it to every device. And you, of course, have a 30-day risk-free return policy, so you're never at risk. But I think that, you know, the certified good, that's a way to get something that's going to probably be in better shape than the thing you broke. But it doesn't have to be as expensive as a brand new device. Gazelle.com. To sell, to buy. Just keep that in mind. There's always a new gadget on the horizon. I'm looking at the new Galaxy S6. Probably won't be a new iPhone to the fall. I'm hoping that maybe in June, Apple will announce a new iPad. I want that iPad Pro. See, I won't wipe this iPad if I thought I can get an iPad Pro. No. Get the quote on the old device. It's good for 30 days. Gazelle.com. Do it. Do it. Do it. You know what it's from? Do it.
Welcome back, Cotter.
I think it's Wedding Crashers.
Oh.
Do it.
Should we talk about some iPad news?
Is there?
There's a little bit of news.
I keep waiting. Are you at all excited? Sarah's so excited about this. The idea of this iPad Pro, a 12-inch iPad with the Force Touch.
And the USB.
So nice.
I'm a bit excited about it. I wouldn't say so excited.
You have what, an iPad Air 2?
Yes.
That's a pretty nice device.
It is, yeah.
I'm starting to really think I need a new iPad because I'm getting so tired of typing in my password.
Oh,
and the Air 2, you just do the fingerprint.
Yeah, that would be worth it.
It is.
All right,
worth
well
it.
If you want to get me one, that's fine. I'm not gonna argue with you.
Yeah. I'll get you you already have the new one.
Yes, I have the new one. I'm fine with it. So Nintendo on the iPad, anyone? There was some big news this week. Nintendo's going to finally having mobile games.
We've been waiting for this. Nintendo still, for the longest time, said no, Mario will be on Nintendo and Nintendo only. Sega has done huge land office business with the Sonic the Hedgehog franchise. It's selling them on iPads. And finally, I think Nintendo said, oh, wait a minute.
Yeah.
We're leaving money on the table. So if you've been wanting to play those great Nintendo games, the Mario games, apparently they're gonna do them in-house, right?
It's a company called DNA. DNA is going, they partnered with.
So they're gonna do probably ports, what we call ports.
Yeah. And they've specifically said they're not porting the games. They're very specific. Now, I have to be honest, Nintendo is not my thing. It was like it skipped.
Me too. I was a Sega person.
Yes, I wasn't. I don't know, but it's not my thing. But I did talk to Chelsea Stark from Mashable on TNT.
And she's really into it.
And she, so she's the one that gave me the scoop. Don't say they're porting them over. That's not accurate.
It's not a port.
Yes.
So a port, you take the original code and you modify it so it will run on different hardware.
Right.
That means the game would be identical, at least nearly identical.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to, when I look at the Sonic the Hedgehog games, those feel like ports. They're pretty darn close to the original. Mm-hmm. She says not a port.
No, not exactly. And then they're not gonna give away the console gaming either. That's still gonna be big part of what they're doing. And this is gonna be.
But you have to acknowledge there's a reason they're doing this. The console sales have plummeted.
Right. But they don't want to, say
make
the console's going away.
Right.
But
right.
It is. I mean, it is interesting for some people who have waited. There's also like a licensing thing with it. They were holding on very tightly to, their characters.
It's worth
their
Mario's worth a lot of money.
Their Pokemon.
Yeah.
It is interesting because I think, there hasn't been like an outbreak, a breakout star for mobile games, really. So I think that's what
they
did.
DNA will make new games using the old characters. Is that the idea?
I think they're...
Partnered with DNA to make new games for smart devices. Mm-hmm. That's an interesting idea. So if you want to play Mario Kart 8, you still would have to get a Wii U.
Mm-hmm.
But if you wanted to play Mario Kart iPad, mm-hmm. you'd get an iPad.
Or Candy Crush Mario.
Candy Crush
Pokemon.
Mario.
Candy Crush. You heard it here first. Candy Crush Mario.
I'd
Pokemon.
Play that.
So it's interesting to those. Obviously, a lot of people in the chat room are...
Oh, yeah.
They agree
it's generational. It's generational.
And it is a generation that I think...
We're too old.
Really,
we're too old.
But
kids in their 30s, these young folks. They love the Nintendo.
Yeah, so it'll be another way for them to play. So Apple removed some antivirus apps.
This is so weird to me.
Is it? Do you think you need an antivirus app on your iPad?
So Apple hasn't admitted this.
No. This was 9to5 Mac, Mark Gurman.
But Mark knows. We give him a lot of credit.
Well, I mean, I think we can agree that it happened, but they aren't saying, hey, we did this.
So I understand what Apple's saying, which is that many of these don't really do anything. On the other hand, there's quite a few. On the other hand, we also know there are things an app like that could do. For instance, there was just a study done, the Freak exploit, which is a pretty nasty exploit. It requires two halves. You have to have a compromised web application, but you also have to have an app that's vulnerable on your iPad or your iPhone. And there are many websites that have been compromised. What it does is it downgrades encryption on a website to the point where it's so low grade that a hacker can easily break into it. So the theory would be, for instance, I'm a bad guy. if I could compromise a site where you would give your credit card to and then compromise the app you're using, I could easily steal your credit card number on its way to the site. Mm-hmm. But so you'd have to have apps that were compromised. Safari has been fixed on the iPad. I'm pretty sure it's been fixed. They fixed it on the desktop. So it won't happen in your browser. But there are still, according to studies, 221 apps.
iOS apps.
On iOS that would make you vulnerable to phreak. Now, an antivirus, maybe there aren't malware, a virus kind of malware on the iPad. But that's 221 apps that I would love to know before I use it. Hey, you probably shouldn't use this. It's vulnerable to phreak. Mm-hmm. And that's something an antivirus could very credibly do. And so I'm not sure, you know, you kind of feel like Apple's saying, oh, there's no viruses on iOS. So obviously any antivirus solution is, smoke and mirrors.
Well, if they were really trying to do that, wouldn't they have made the announcement that they were going to do that?
So maybe. I mean, they blocked Lookout.
Do you use Lookout on your Android?
I use Lookout
devices?
On Android. Yeah. And Lookout isn't a traditional antivirus. You know, when you think of antivirus on your desktop, it's something that scans looking for virus signatures, right? It's looking for an actual virus, and it looks through your hard drive. That's not what they do on mobile. Mm-hmm. What they do on mobile is as you're installing an application or an application comes in, it looks to make sure it's not in its database of malicious applications. That's exactly the kind of thing Lookout could have in the database that says, oh, it's one of the freak vulnerable apps, and it could warn you.
Right.
So them blocking Lookout, to me, is more self-serving. And I want to know more about this. Apple has not made a statement. But it sounds to me more like it's a PR move saying, oh, we're so wonderful that you don't need an antivirus. Mm-hmm. That's true. You don't need a traditional antivirus. But a program like Lookout still has a role to play in stuff that would it's not a flaw in iOS. But those apps you really probably don't want to use.
Okay, so I think that photograph showed Lookout, but I just looked for Lookout in.
I thought it showed Lookout.
It did show it, but it was a photo. But it still is in the app.
Okay,
store.
So
you can show my.
This is the thing. I should probably be more hesitant to criticize because I don't know that, and Apple has not said what the details are. It could easily be stuff pulled off that you don't need.
Yeah.
That is smoke and mirrors. That's bogus.
I think that was just a picture on 9to5 Mac that we were looking at.
Yeah, but I saw that Lookout icon on the 9to5
yeah,
Mac
right.
article, and I'm thinking, golly, I'd hate to see Apple pull that for PR reasons if it has a real role to play. It does, I think, perhaps have a role to play.
Because the way I used Lookout on my Samsung Galaxy S5 was that I would, it's like find my phone.
Right.
And it does backup, and it shows you, where your phone is.
It may
is
be on. That Lookout can't do the same thing. Somebody in the chat room is proposing, and this is possibly true, that Lookout on Android can easily scan everything you download and check against the database. May not be able to do that on iOS. It may be that, in fact, because iOS is so locked down, mm-hmm. that no third-party app can have the functionality, in which case it would be useless. It would just be...
I mean, one thing we do know for sure is that a lot of antivirus programs are just rogue. They're just they're trying to prey on people's fear.
Right.
And so they're like, really, you need to do this?
And those should be blocked.
So maybe that's what is was
being
blocked.
I want to know more about this story.
Okay. Well, 9to5 Mac.
And Tigo, which is a well-known Mac antivirus, also has a antivirus for iOS. And I'm seeing that there's a blog post on Tigo about that. I don't know if they were one of them.
Yeah, and it is also true that a lot of people don't really know what they're doing. I remember I walked into the Sprint store a couple of years ago with my Android phone, and I had Lookout installed, and the guy at the Sprint store said, that's malware, that's malicious software.
No, Lookout is not malware.
And it's not, and I knew that, but,
So here's Intigo's post from March 18th. Where did Virus Barrier iOS go? That's the Intigo application. And they say Apple has elected to eliminate the category of antivirus and any malware products. And as a result, our program is no longer available. I would like to read more. Intigo isn't really defending the use of their app, so it may be Intigo's does not have a leg to stand on here.
Mm-hmm.
What they are saying is, if you have Virus Barrier, we're not going to be able to provide updates because they have to go through the App Store. It still scans for viruses on iOS devices and finds and eradicates viruses. Ah, this is interesting. Found in document directories. And that's the point. is it can't really scan the apps. Mm-hmm. So it may not. It may be that Apple's saying, look, you because of limitations within iOS, there's no app that can do what it needs to do to be useful in this context.
Yeah, interesting. Perhaps a topic for Security Now.
Good idea.
So here's some more meat for the show, Leo. M-E-T-E. We were talking about this before.
Yes.
Last week, Nick Bilton did a piece in the New York Times, Style Section. He's a technology reporter who sometimes writes for the Style
Always writes for Style. So this is an interesting thing about Nick, and Nick's a friend of the network. We have him on Twitter all the time. He used to write for the Bits blog, the New York Times technology blog. He accepted reassignment to Style. And his point was, you know what, technology's everywhere now, and it's appropriate to talk about it in a more mainstream section, the Style section. Mm-hmm. So he's still a technology reporter for the Times, reporting for the Style section.
Right. So
and he wrote an article that was really...
The health concerns in wearable tech is what the article is called now, but it was previously called Are Wearables More Dangerous Than Cigarettes or something like that. They changed the title because it was a little bit... It sure did get people's attention, though. And then they've changed... So basically, he made what he was calling a link between cancer and wearables that a lot of people called pseudoscience. There's an interesting article in Wired about how many people do follow this. Oh, here's this study that's going to prove exactly what I wanted to prove.
Right.
And, you know, it's just using the, it took us so long to realize that cigarettes cause cancer. Just some of the stuff that is, it's dangerous. It's, you know,
I think
these things out and then people are like,
It's not been proven one way or the other. But I think it's a little bit irresponsible to write a headline. And Nick Mate probably did not write the headline, but to say in a headline that wearables might be more dangerous than smoking cigarettes. There is no evidence that your phone or your wristwatch, your wearable, causes harm. There's no evidence of it. It's not incorrect to say something could. Mm-hmm. But the problem is, and in fact, the Times has responded with a fairly long clarification at the bottom of his article, mm-hmm. and the Times public editor, Margaret Sullivan, who does a great job, she's kind of an ombudsperson. She's there not to represent the Times, but to take criticism of the Times and respond to it by investigating. And so she's got a fairly long piece in the New York Times. A tech column on wearable gadgets draws fire as pseudoscience. In articles on The Verge, Science Blogs, and Slate. Ginny Jardin, we also love. As a cancer survivor said, the Bilton article, quoting Mercola, is an insult to the New York Times' laudable legacy of tech, science, health, and specifically cancer coverage. He does, in this piece, defend himself, as do his editors. I corresponded with Mr. Bilton and the Style's editor, Stuart Emmerich. Bilton defending the column and its sources mentioned other Times articles over the years that have raised questions and concerns. He also said the reality is we still don't know definitively the causes of cell phones and cancer. I think that's a typo, the cause of cancer via cell phone. But I can tell you one thing. As a technology enthusiast, I approached this piece thinking all research was bogus. But as I noted after doing my own reporting, I'm no longer going to talk on my cell phone for long periods of time without a headset. The editor, Mr. Emmerich, said that in retrospect, he would have done this differently. He said, I should have run it by our colleagues in science. Nick is great. They point out he's a columnist, and columns are opinion, mm-hmm. not fact. But I think quite appropriately, the public editor of the New York Times said the original web headline felt like clickbait. Mm-hmm. Toning it down was a smart move, in fact, a necessity. The column clearly needed much more vetting, at least some of which could have been done internally. Topic, she says, is a worthy one, and I don't object to it appearing in Styles. Placement is not the issue, but sophisticated evaluation of serious research surely is. So I think that's actually the right attitude. I like Nick a lot, and I think I give him a lot of credit. If he says he's concerned after doing his own research, I think that concern is probably somewhat legit. But boy, there's no reason at this point, from everything I've read, to in any way infer that your cell phone is dangerous or your watch is dangerous. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really risky to start asserting that, especially in a paper as regarded as the New York Times. So we gave him a hard time on Twit over the weekend, and I think that that hard time was somewhat deserved. But you know what? We're going to get Nick on and let him defend himself. How about that?
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
I have a similar health concerns with iPad story that was in cars.com. It's a story about the possible dangers of your iPad if you get in an accident, you know, if, as a passenger.
Well, it could knock you in the
noggin. Right, so it was the idea that your, I think we might have a link to the article, that your
so could a
AirPad,
donut.
Yeah, your iPad, your airbag hits the iPad.
Well, it is a sheet of glass that would be then thrust into your face at rapid speed.
Yeah. Now, this isn't saying like that don't use your iPad as a passenger, but it's an interesting...
Well, actually, I think that's much more of a risk than
than
the wearable. to tell the truth, I never thought about that.
Yeah,
but so would a clipboard...
But you're holding a laptop down here, a clipboard,
But it could, the thing is, the iPad's glass.
Right.
Remember, the airbags are shot like by dynamite, practically. It's almost explosive, and it really comes fast. And you know, they actually had a recall on airbags that had some... solid parts in it that were hurt, that were hurting and killing people. This, I would think, would be very, very bad for you.
Yeah, but it's theoretical. It's not like they have any research.
Nobody's ever
National
done that.
Traffic Safety Board
doesn't
has
sound
no
good.
Research. But yeah, it's just something to think about.
I think that's a good point.
I was always warned not to put my feet up on the dashboard too.
Yeah,
like that's the.
It would fold you in half like that.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, the latest driving recommend. Remember, we used to say 10 and 2. Latest thing is no, do it at what is that 6:45
and
7:30?
No,
I don't know. Do more like say I don't know 7 and 4.
Huh.
And the and one of the reasons you do lose a little control because you can't do the but one of the reasons is the airbag, which is right here in the steering wheel.
Yeah.
If you have your hands here. Just like that. Watch this.
What is going on?
He's dropping a soda on an airbag.
This is
He's
a very technical.
Going to fire an iPad.
Oh, the slow video.
What is? What are we looking at?
So this is an airbag deploying in front of a glass.
See the explosion there?
That's an iPad.
Imagine that.
Fire that right in your face.
I got that.
There you go.
That's the closest thing I can find.
That's good. That's good.
This collection of videos for everything we talk about.
I think that's something to think about. I think that's do not put your feet on the dashboard. Drive now with your hands now at, say, 4 and 8.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever you do, don't be looking at your iPad when you should be looking at the road.
Did you want to talk about the Apple TV news of this week?
I'm excited about this, and I think this is germane to iPad users. We're starting to see, you know, we've seen for years, literally, Apple's talking to the networks, trying to get a television service going. But now Mark Gurman at 9 to 5 Mac is starting to report in the Wall Street Journal as well that they're getting close, that there may, in fact, be a new Apple TV this summer or maybe this fall. I think it's more likely this fall. And that Apple is going to allow an app store in the Apple TV, something I've wanted for a long time. Those apps may include things like NBC, where you'd be able to watch content from NBC, maybe live, maybe not. I don't know. And then apparently Apple is not making a deal with NBC. They weren't able to, but they have made deals with others like CBS. And then I think very interesting, how will this impact your iPad? Almost certainly if there are apps like an NBC app for Apple TV, they'll have it for the iPad. And I think it wouldn't be far-fetched for the iPad to become one of the televisions that the Apple TV could talk to wirelessly. You know, you can do that right now. You AirPlay to the Apple TV, but what if you did it in the other direction? Then your Apple TV becomes a hub of television content that you can look at not only on your television set but perhaps on your iPad. I would love to see that. So I think we're going to watch that with interest. It's all rumors.
So that'll come. When is it's WWDC? Is that when it is?
Well, June is WWDC. If they're going to have an SDK and promote this developers, that would be the time you would say, this coming this fall, a new Apple TV, we have a new SDK, a software development kit, we have a new way we're going to start selling apps. We'd like you to start doing that. I could see them doing that. I think that would be... So, yeah, if there's word, we'll probably know June for a product for sale in the fall. I feel like we're finally getting there on that one.
All right. So, who else has iPad today brought to you?
Bye. You know, one of my favorite sponsors of all time. And that would be... Lynda.com. Thank you. I got the clue, the hint. I'm just trying to find the copy. I knew who it was. Lynda is a friend, old friend. Did you ever meet Linda Wyman when she came on the Screensavers?
I did, no.
She is great. You'd recognize her because that icon in the Linda logo is kind of a stylized Linda. She had those glasses, kind of the cat eye glasses. She wrote great books on web development and realized that, you know, the books were just the beginning, started doing great videos. What are you looking at? You fooled me. I thought we were looking at the Google Play Store, but what in fact we're watching is an amazing class on lynda.com that lets you create a note-taking app, not just for one platform, but for iOS, Android, and Windows Phone in one class. This is an example of how Linda is so great. If you're a problem solver, if you're curious, if you want to get a better job or get a promotion at your job, or maybe you just want to have fun, you'd like to develop an app or improve your productivity or build a website, master Excel, lynda.com has everything you need to feed your curious mind. I am a major photo buff, as you know. I'm a terrible photographer. So I love the courses on lynda.com, like the Foundations of Photography and the Photography 101 courses. Lisa's watching one right now, which is real. I can't remember. Which one are you watching on lynda.com, the photography course? The Photography 101, is that the one you're watching? It's so great. It's about she doesn't remember the name, but it's about composition. It helps you get a photographer's eye. And then as you get better and better, you can learn about Photoshop. You can learn about Lightroom. They just released the first look at Photos for Mac. We were talking about that earlier. If you want to know how that's going to work, they've got it there. You see Burt Monroy with his great Photoshop classes. Gosh, Linda is amazing. What was it? Foundations of Photography? That's the one Lisa and I are doing right now. Really, really good. Basic, but everything you need. The thing is, the people who are doing these are professional photographers who are also great teachers. It's my old friend Ben Long teaching this. In fact, I'm watching and said, that's Ben. She said, yeah, it's Linda. Oh, I love Ben. Ben is one of my favorite photographers, but he's a great teacher. So he's a pro who can bring this material to life. They shoot it, as you can see, professionally. But even better, they divide it into little chapters so you can look at the thing, you know, take 10 minutes and watch another chapter or jump to the part you want. They've got full text transcriptions. You can search them and so you can find exactly what you're looking for. Whatever it is you want to learn, lynda.com has a course for it. You can learn at your own pace. You can even download tutorials and watch them on the go on iOS and Android. They've got free apps. I just love Linda. You're going to love it too. But I'm not going to ask you for any money. I'm just going to say visit lynda.com/iPad today, and you'll get a 10-day free trial. You're the run of the place. Actually, all of the Linda subscriptions include all the courses, so you get to see everything. They actually have a lot of free courses, too. Go there right now, Linda, lynda.com/iPad today. Get your free 10-day trial. 10 days is plenty to do the Foundations of Photography if you want to do that, or almost any course you could do easily in a few days. So we're talking about 3 or 4 courses here, absolutely free. lynda.com/iPad today.
So iPad today would be nothing without viewers.
Like you.
I have a couple emails, a couple voicemails. Do we have time?
Let's do it.
Okay. The first email comes from Jeff. He says, hey, guys, I'm looking for some alternatives for backing up my data on my iPad. He asks, what do you think of iFunbox?
You know, you sent me this, and I had never heard of it.
Safe to use.
Yeah, well, my general thought is Apple offers this great solution called iCloud. I'd stick with that.
Yeah.
This is some guy. The problem with iFunbox is, A, it's some guy. B, Apple doesn't really let you do a lot of the things you think you can do in backup. So this is much more limited than you think. I'll read you the description. iFunbox is a powerful file transfer and manage tool. You can use it to transfer files between, Apple devices. There's typos in this. It's also a full-function file explorer with user-friendly UI and simple operations. It is free. So I can't see any disadvantage to doing this. It does support Dropbox, OneDrive, Google Drive, and Box. So if you've decided I want to use these, well, yes, you could transfer some, but not all. This isn't going to give you a full-featured backup solution to those solutions.
The app is free? Not the service isn't free. Is it free?
Well, it's not really a service.
Oh, it's just a tool.
It's just a tool. It makes me nervous. This is the picture of it. And I note, now I'm gone. I note that it also it doesn't It doesn't have. How did I lose that? What did I touch? Oh, I looked it up on the internet. That's why. It also doesn't have. It hasn't been updated since August. So I'm just. No, I would. I don't have anything against iFunbox. Yeah, there's free and paid. Paid is $2.99. Probably has supposedly more features. You want backup? Use iCloud. If you don't want to pay for iCloud, connect it to your computer and use a USB cable and iTunes. That's free. It's going to be faster, more effective. You're going to get everything. Apple does not allow third-party apps access to everything. So as if he asked for backup, no. Mm-hmm. For file transfer, maybe. I wouldn't. I'd stay away from it. It makes me a little... Read the reviews. They're not, you know...
So thank you, Jeff, for the question. Here's another question. Tell me and everyone else whether or not this is a security problem, the iPad. Here are the steps. Go to Settings, Safari, Saved Passwords, and there you go. Every password you've ever entered since you used your iPad, and it's in plain text.
Yeah.
What is up with that? I did it, and I won't do it here on the show. Yeah. But yes. So
this is an old. This is an old story. Chrome does this as well. When people ask Google what, they said, well... We figure if somebody has access to your computer, they have access to your computer.
It's all over.
So
it's
we
all
figured
over, but the crying after that.
You know, what's the point in encrypting it? I think they may have started to do that. The point is, if somebody's got your stuff, they've got your stuff. You should absolutely put a lock code in your iPad, and then they won't be able to look at your passwords in Safari. Furthermore, I would never let a browser, Safari, Internet Explorer, or Chrome, remember passwords, period. Turn that off and use a real password manager with real encryption like LastPass. You cannot count on the browser to hide that. And we've talked about this on Security Now. If you encrypt something on your system and the system is expected to decrypt it, if Safari offers you a hidden way to scramble that, and somebody has access to your system, they have access to the key. So with a minimal amount of effort, they're going to be able to unlock it anyway. So Chrome did this, and I think Safari, Apple's thinking the same thing. We don't want you to get the impression that this is somehow safe. If somebody gets your device, you're out of luck. So lock your device, and my suggestion is don't use the browser to remember anything. Use a trusted system like LastPass. It's less convenient. The nice thing about having it in the browser is when you go to a web page, it'll fill it in for you. Mm-hmm. But you're absolutely right. Go look. All your passwords in the clear right there.
Here, I'll look. Can
nope.
I see yours?
Nope.
Oh, good.
Another reason you should, A, not just let anybody use your iPad, and B, you should absolutely turn on screen, the lock on the screen. Apple does that right. If you've got it locked, nobody can get in there. In fact, turn on that thing where after 10 times, it erases it. You know, you'd have to get past this. And I would absolutely turn on the after. Oh, you know what? I don't have a lock on this. You know, maybe I should turn that on. When did I turn that off? I must have turned it off because somebody was. Or did I?
Yes.
Turn on your lock. Don't do as I do. And I use LastPass, and I strongly recommend it.
Excellent advice. So we have a voicemail from Sergio. Can we play that, Brian? Thank you.
Hi, Leo. This is Sergio from Midtown Manhattan. I'm watching you, iPad Today, episode 236, complain nobody calls and leaves a voicemail, so here you go.
Hey!
I have an iPhone, and I pay a voice plan and a data plan for it.
Right.
I never make phone calls. I just bought an iPad mini, which I pay only data plan. What is the best app that I can use to make and receive calls from regular phones on my iPad so that I can replace my iPhone with it? Please let me know, because I'm dying to do it. Thank you so much.
Sergio. There are quite a few, and this is a we got to do a show on this. Mm-hmm. I think we have in the past. I've used Talkatone. That's one. You can use just Google Hangouts. Google Hangouts lets you make phone calls. I've been using Google Voice for a long time, and so I don't give people my cell phone number. I give them my Google Voice number, and then I go into Google Voice and have it configured for whichever phones I want to ring. It could ring a home phone number. It could ring a cell phone, up to five different numbers. Google Voice, if you set that up, will also ring your app in your iPad, your Hangouts app. And so I can actually, it's so great. People call me. I can answer it on my phone, but I can also answer my iPad. In fact, we've got a caller coming up who does exactly that, uses their iPad for phone, It's great. Tango will do it. Line will do it. There's Skype will do it. You can actually have a Skype in number that's a regular phone number. I pay for that as well. And that gives you a number just like any number. People call it. Your Skype rings. So an iPad makes an excellent phone.
It does.
You don't need one.
Yeah, yeah. I would like to you guys to do a show, or we should do one. Maybe I'll do it on the. Oh wait, the iPhone.
You should be aware, and some of the things we mentioned are U.S. only or limited in geographically. So check in your area.
Because I would definitely use it because I have kids that stay home alone, and we don't have
a
landline.
It's a great solution.
So it's nice.
You don't have a landline.
We do not have a landline.
You're so modern. You have a cell phone.
We have a cell phone, and but then now the kids don't all. The 12-year-old has a cell phone now.
Right.
But the 10-year-olds don't, and sometimes, but they always have the iPad if they're home alone because the iPad is the babysitter.
Talkatone and other solutions are available.
Yeah, and I would like to know if there's like a 911, like that you can, like an easy way to call 911.
That's another matter. And most of these VoIP apps will tell you this is not 911.
Yeah.
You do not have an emergency number. That's a big issue.
Right.
And so there are a few that do offer 911 services. And if you don't, that's the nice thing about using a cell phone. If you don't have a home phone, you should not rely on a VoIP solution in most cases for emergencies.
But if anyone has a suggestion for a 911 app,
I'd love to talk about
that.
Well, we're going to do an episode, I think, on this. I think it's a great suggestion. It's been a while since we've done it, and that'll be one of the things we'll talk about.
But on the same topic, we got a voicemail from Roberto, and he has some advice for also using your iPad as a telephone.
Okay.
And a tip for
it's from the iPad, and the last call I did was from the iPad. One issue that you come across if you're calling from an iPad, especially on like some sort of touch tone service, like if you're waiting to try to make some sort of reservation someplace and you've got to press, you know, one or two from Hangouts.
I hate that.
You're going to need some sort of a dial tone. So there's a app called 10 Digits that allows you to generate dial tones. So it's the app originally is for learning what the dial tones mean. But I think if you can hear it in the background, that's the dial tone app, and that should be enough for you to be able to go through some sort of call menu.
That's great, Roberto.
Thank you.
And it's free. Let me see. I'm downloading it right now. Hold on a second. I got to get a more modern iPad. Entering this password, because I have a long, hard password. It takes a long time. 10 digits from, it looks like Minnow, M-I-N-O. Works. Let's open it up here. So the idea is you test yourself, but you can just go to the play section and go.
Oh, I remember that sound.
Remember that? I'm actually doing a test. I shouldn't have done that. Get out of the test. That's play. Listen and test. Let's just listen. There we go. Now, a lot of phone apps, and I thought Hangouts did, a lot of phone apps will let you go to a dial pad. I think Hangouts does. I don't have it on here. But if you can, if there's a, look for a button that says dial pad. But if you don't, hey, there's a good way to do it. Look at that. I wish I could press and hold it.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's too fast.
Gone are the days when you could press and hold the button.
Yeah.
All right, so iPad Today is also brought to you by Casper. No? Yes? Maybe.
I thought it was my undies.
Oh, me undies?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
I wore my special underwear for nothing?
Yeah.
I was supposed to bring the mattress in today?
No,
I wore the special underwear for a good thing. I'm wearing Modal right now. Modal or Modal? We still haven't figured that out. But all we know is Modal. It's comfy. It's made from beechwood trees in the Austrian Alps. My underwear is made from beechwood trees in the Austin. That's, oh, my. Oh, my, my. I wear MeUndies. MeUndies is the most comfortable and hip underwear you'll ever wear. It's kind of fun. We spend 90% of our life in underwear. And most of the time, people don't see our underwear. But it's always fun to know that if you could see my underwear, you would see mustaches today.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's fun. Wearing fun underwear is just one of the ways you can be a little bit of a rebel in life. Even if you have to wear a suit and tie to work, wear some fun underwear. And boy, comfortable, man. And affordable. For this quality, you'd typically pay twice as much. No retail middleman, folks. That means you're going to save money. Polka dots, plaid, funky, pinstripes, colors in every shade of the rainbow for both men and women. If you go to MeUndies.com/twit, you can see some pictures of Twit listeners in their underwear. Is that true? No, I don't think so. They do have a page. Can you find the MeUndies photo album? There is one. You can look at people in their underwear. They're made out of this modal fiber, which is sustainably sourced. It is as comfortable and soft as cotton. Uses a CO2 neutral process, low carbon footprint, saves water and energy. They're using a spun dyed fiber process, so it's color fast. MeUndies fit perfectly. They wick moisture away from you. You stay cool and comfortable. And man, they're fun. There it is. It's fun to wear. A lot of these are professional models.
Really?
But she's a Twit listener right there, the one shouting. MeUndies.com/twit. When you go there right now, you're going to get 20% off and free shipping on your first order. Save even more when you buy a pack, and they guarantee you'll be happier. Your first pair is free. 20% off. MeUndies, MeUndies.com/twit. You know what? Tweet us using the hashtag MeUndies. Because we have so many good-looking people and listening in our audience, and they look so good in their underwear. I want to see more of it. MeUndies.com. You know, only one person sees me in MeUndies.
That's the way it should be.
Yeah.
That
is sometimes the way it should be. You don't even know this. We may are matching MeUndies.
I think you've said that before.
So fun.
I'm wearing a hat.
Why are you wearing a hat?
It's time for AppCap, right?
Oh, I look like Ralph Cramden.
No, you look like you're going to drive me somewhere.
I look like I'm going to drive a bus. Don't I look like Ralph Cramden? Ladies and gentlemen, it's it's time for the AppCap Awards.
It is.
This is where we pick a couple of apps that we think are really worth your attention on iPad today. I'm going to let our Matador friend, Megan Maroney, start today.
I'm going to compare you to a summer's day. Shall I?
Shall you?
Do you think
that's Shakespeare?
Yes. Do you think people still, kids, they don't memorize the poetry so much anymore?
Oh, that was are you going to show? I know what you're going to show.
The Penguin app? Have you?
I love this app.
Poems by Heart?
Please.
Does everyone already know about it?
No. I think we talked about this ages ago. Oh. It is my favorite app. I memorized Ozymandias.
You did?
Yes.
Through this? So
yes.
Poems by Heart, let's compare. This is a medium. Oh, let's go through my...
So they have easy, medium, and hard, depending on how hard it is to memorize.
Right. So you read through, shall I compare thee to a summer's day? Thou art more lovely and more temperate.
This is a sonnet.
So I'm going to learn it. So I click learn it. And then I fill in the missing words. It's like a game.
It's fun. Go ahead.
Shall I compare thee to a summer's
day? It's a really fun and easy way to memorize.
It is.
And they won't let you go on until you've kind of... And it gets harder and harder. And by the end of it, you know the whole thing.
More temperate. Oh, lovely. I said glorious.
Oh.
All right. Rough winds do bind, shake.
So you didn't read it. You're supposed to read it before you do it.
Well, I've read it before. Do shake the... What kind of... Tempestuous buds? Glorious buds?
Glorious.
Darling.
Darling buds. Okay, it'd probably be good to reread the poem before you do
wondrous.
This.
Summer's beauteous short hath... Oh,
this comes from a book Penguin did called Poems by Heart. And it's a really fun way to learn. And I love poetry.
I do too.
Don't you wish, doesn't everybody wish that they could just recite a poem by heart?
I do. Do you have any that you have? You have Ozymandias?
I memorized Ozymandias. Okay. So what you do is it comes with some basic ones for free. Mm-hmm. And then you get a library. And so you can shop for poems that you really like. They've got Yeats, Love Struck, Life Wisdom. Life Wisdom would be fun. Love Adventures. So you get poem packs. Volumes, the Life Wisdom is just 99 cents. But if you wanted a volume, which includes Holiday, Yeats, Love Struck, Nature, New York, and History, $5.99. In the old days, it's even before my time, people learned poetry in school.
Mm-hmm.
They would memorize poetry in school. And I always like meeting people, ships that pass in the night. Wouldn't that be
fun?
That's
the one that I chose, too.
Or Edgar Allan Poe. You know, you could learn the Raven and stuff like that. I need to find my...
Your... your credit?
Restore, yeah, my Restore. Because I bought a bunch of stuff a while ago. I haven't used this in a while. I love it.
I love it. I think it's great for kids. I think it's great for adults who just
want to start with the easy one. He who binds himself to... Let's try one.
Eternity by William Blake.
Oh, yeah, that's good, too.
The voice.
He who binds to himself a joy, does the winged life destroy. He who kisses the joy as it flies, lives in eternity's sunrise.
So Blake was a great poet, and you're good. Now, admittedly, when you first read that, you go, what does that mean? You will learn the poem. You will, in fact, learn the meaning as you do it. It's really great.
It's fun.
Yeah, I'm just, he who binds him to himself, eternity's joy?
He who binds to himself a joy.
A joy, okay. Does the
winged
life
himself? No, wait, life destroy?
Destroy. Don't bind yourself to a joy because you'll destroy
the winged life. Destroy
the winged life. Mm-hmm. You'll tie yourself mm-hmm. down. Mm-hmm. But he who kisses the joy as it flies.
He who kisses the joy as it flies.
So you know you don't want to tie down that dove. You want to kiss it as it flies, and then you'll live in eternity's...
Lives in eternity's sunrise.
Sunrise. Mm-hmm. So that's the first stage. So now we're going... And by the way, it's fun. They really make it fun. And you're going to do it again and again. By the time you're done, and I would say in 5 minutes, 10 minutes, you will know this poem.
Really?
And you'll enjoy it. It'll be part of you. Now, the problem is Ozymandias, I memorized it, knew it, and I've forgotten
it's
it.
Gone?
So you got to keep it up to date.
Oh.
Well, I'm an old man. I'm a bus driver.
I still have, yeah. Well, that is, you can memorize better when you're young and then it sticks with you. There you are. It sticks with you. One of my twins memorized the Gettysburg Address when he was in kindergarten.
You're kidding.
Yeah. But I don't know if he could
do it
now. I don't know if he could do it now because you get older.
It's good for your brain. It keeps your brain supple and active to do memorization. Mm-hmm. Memorization is a skill. This is very important. It is not something some people are good at and some people aren't. It's a skill that's learned. So by doing this, you're improving your memory, and I'm not kidding. This makes a big difference, and I wish they did kind of keep doing this in school.
Yeah, because you know, as you know, nature's first green is gold, the hardest hue to hold. Only just an hour, something flower.
Flower. You learned it.
I think I remember that poem from the movie The Outsiders, actually. But, nothing gold can stay, Robert Frost.
That's nice.
What's your app, Cap?
I love poetry.
I do, too.
And I think we should bring it back. So I'm not probably telling you anything new, but my app, Cap, is Meerkat. And we've talked a lot about Meerkat. And it's starting to take off right now. I wonder who's Meerkatting right now. Let's just grab the Meerkat stream. This is free. Oh,
who's that?
Mr. Needles. So they have fixed this, by the way. This looks much better than it did on the iPad. The thing about meerkatting that's kind of fun is we've seen programs that do this before. It's a live video stream that you can do. And this, by the way, is an iPad app. They have an iPhone app and an iPad app. Who else is, just I'm curious, who else might be streaming right now?
I thought he was
Mike
here.
Elgin.
He left.
He's at home. So it's fun when you stream because, first of all, it's very closely tied to Twitter. It is not a Twitter product. In fact, Twitter has their own competing product that is coming soon.
Periscope.
But right now, Meerkat owns the world. It was big at South by Southwest. Jimmy Fallon uses it to live stream his rehearsals. It really is a great behind-the-scenes program. Vincenzo Landino is a photographer.
In version one, like we're trying really hard.
A lot of people do this. They meerkat from their car.
It doesn't seem safe.
It seems unsafe. I agree. He's one of the top meerkatters. You can actually see who the biggest meerkatters are if you tap this. So it's live streaming. It will use your 4G network or Wi-Fi. I recommend doing it in Wi-Fi. As you can see, Vincenzo was doing it 3G. Mashable's number one. Jeff Needles is number two. I don't know. Who's that? I don't know who that is. Jimmy Fallon. Number three, you've heard of him. Bad Beef. That sounds scary. If you see somebody you like, press the plus and you can add them. You'll then get notified, if you choose to turn on notifications, when they go live. You're only going to get notified on Twitter, if you're following them on Twitter, or in the app. Once the Meerkat stream is over, it's gone. Mm-hmm. You can save it locally. But it does. Meerkat does not save it. And I think that's one of the things that's made people more likely to use Meerkat,
right,
is it's kind of like Snapchat. It's temporary.
Ephemeral.
We'll watch the stream that Mike Elgin's doing. You can see a couple of things as a Meerkat. In fact, I can start a Meerkat stream if you want. You will see a group of icons of the people watching you. Now, these are all Twitter icons, Twitter followers. And then you'll also see they can chat with you. Now, one of the things, this could be a pro or a con, when somebody chats with you, they're doing it right from inside. So we're watching you now.
It would be great if he was watching us watching him.
He is. He's listening. And so I added that. It goes in the chat. That's part of your stream, but it also goes on Twitter. It's really kind of cool. I can also favorite, and then it'll say Leo Laporte liked this. And that also goes in the Twitter stream.
Yeah.
So it's tightly integrated with Twitter. But Twitter doesn't like this because, as we mentioned, they have their own app. There's Amira Elgin. There's the laptop. It's kind of funny. One thing you'll find is that Meerkat, oddly enough, is designed for portrait mode. A lot of people say, that's not how video should be shot. But the Meerkat format works well. Let's go back home, and shall we start a Meerkat? There's two things you can do. You can schedule one ahead of time. Excuse me. The Meerkat folks encourage that because then your followers can say, "Oh, Leo's going to do something at 4 o'clock," and make a point of it. But frankly, I think most Meerkat streamers just go, "Yeah, let's stream." It's kind of fun. You notice I don't see anything in my schedule here. Here's a VC, Dave McClure. There we go. He's treating from some sort of demo day for Y Combinator. So the fun thing about doing this is you get an inside look. We stream all the time. But you get an inside look at some interesting things. There's a guy who drives a crane who did an Ask Me Anything Meerkat showing you how he drives the crane. That's cool.
Yeah.
So Meerkat gives you the chance to see behind the scenes, and as a broadcaster gives you a chance to create a behind-the-scenes video. My suggestion is make something that's of use. I can stream right now. And by the way, it does work fine with the iPad. I'm going to reverse it and use the front. Yeah, you put your hand in there. Use the front. And as I do this, you see nobody's watching right now, but it immediately tweets out that Leo is streaming, and you'll see it pretty quickly. My Twitter followers or Meerkat followers see the notification. And there it is, live now. Now, I didn't name it. You probably want to name it. It's a good idea to name it because otherwise what you get is, random. Mm-hmm. Hi, random. And you also are going to get people who are going to comment. And so a lot of people use this for interaction because people can talk back to you in text and you can answer them and respond to them. Folks, we're just doing a demo of Meerkat on our iPad Today show. That's why I'm dressed like Ralph Crampton. Thank you very much.
So are we going to talk to the Meerkat?
Well, so that's my app cap. It's free. It works very nicely. I'm going to end my stream. It works with iOS only. There is no Android version of this. Look, 104 people saw that.
You can watch the videos on an Android phone.
You can watch it, but you cannot stream from anything but iOS. It does have an iPad app, which lets you stream, as you can see, as well as a watch. Now, notice I can save this stream locally by saving it out to the photo roll. It does some weird things. Long streams, it seems to screw up. I wouldn't count on the stream being saved. But I think a lot of people use it. They don't want the stream saved. It's just like kind of a live stream. It's kind of interactive. I think Meerkat is very interesting. And, yeah, the guy who created this, it's actually an Israeli company that created this. But one of the founders is going to join us. I wonder if there's an about here. You can also search, as you can see, for users. The guy who created this is going to join us Sunday. We're going to do a special triangulation right after the tech guy and right before Twit. So it'll be 2 to 3 p.m. Pacific daylight time this coming Sunday, which would be the 29th of March, March 29th. That would be 6 to 7 p.m. Is that right? No, I'm sorry, 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern time. And right at midnight, UTC, if you want to watch that, Ben Rosen joins us. And we'll talk about the amazing success. I mean, this was launched at the end of January. It has gone in a little bit more than a month. It's gone absolutely viral. It's just been amazing.
Yeah, I'm really interested in listening to him talk about it because he seems to not. I mean, Twitter has taken some of the features away. that were originally part of it. You can't tweet out automatically to your followers, I think.
No, the one feature that's gone is, and it's all really Twitter can do, frankly, is disable the access to the social graph. It used to be when you signed up for Meerkat, it was really easy. You would just sign up. Meerkat would automatically add everybody that you follow, and you would automatically follow everybody you follow on Meerkat. So you instantly got populated without any effort on your part. Twitter cut that off, saying it's a violation of terms of service. They let other people do it. It's clearly an anti-competitive move by Twitter. They want people to use Periscope, not Meerkat. In fact, we'll talk about Periscope. It's not out yet. It's only in beta. Those who have seen it say it's really nice, but it's very different. But it works. Don't be deceived by that. It doesn't really change the Meerkat experience. You'll sign up. You'll manually add people you want to follow. As you can see, that's very easy to do using the leaderboard or a search. And then it still tweets when you start streaming. People can still talk to you, and it tweets their responses back to the Twitter. So as far as I'm concerned, you're not losing a huge... It's a little bit of functionality.
Right. And those of us who downloaded it before, we didn't lose that.
I have all... Because I signed up, it imported everybody automatically. Yeah. So Meerkat, Meerkat. It's fun if you want to do a live stream. And what I would encourage you to do is do it when you're doing something that people would be interested in watching.
Mm-hmm.
I love it if you are a crane operator. Mm-hmm. Show them how... what it's like to be in that seat operating a crane. If you do something unusual, if you're a surgeon and you're in the middle of open heart surgery, start meerkatting. What could possibly go wrong?
And don't do it in the bathroom. That's all I ask.
You know, it's funny because meerkat has the rule. I thought for the first thing I would see if you go look at the rules of meerkat is nudity, don't do it in the bathroom.
No rules.
You can pretty much do anything you want. It just says everything that happens on Meerkat happens on Twitter, blah, blah, blah. Be kind. That's the only thing. So if you want to take it in the bathroom, just be kind. Those are the rules of Meerkat.
I'm going to come up with my own rules. Well, some Patrick over there, he has a little no Meerkat zone sign on his door.
There are some societal issues.
And that's what's fascinating. Anything that touches society in the way that this has is fascinating to me.
Yeah.
So I say let's...
We have employees, as you can see, who spend a lot of time meerkatting on company time. I'm not going to name names.
But at least you know that they're working, right? If I'm
well,
not meerkatting,
I don't know what, we
what
know.
The heck
what
am I doing,
doing
when I'm meerkatting?
What exactly are
what
they doing?
What am I doing when I'm not meerkatting?
And actually, what's really become more of an issue, and we've had to make some rules in the business, is if you wander around with meerkat, you might see proprietary information.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so we tell people, if you're meerkatting, please be respectful of others and don't run over to their screen and show it, things like that.
And be kind.
And be kind. That's Jeff Needles. He's meerkatting.
All right. Do you have anything else to say? Because I got some news that
I can say
prepare.
One thing.
Yes.
Sewer workers are kings. To the moon, Alice.
To the moon.
And thanks for joining us on iPad today.